So if I'm a little in preaching in prison mode, forgive me. But I didn't think there'd be this many folks here today. I know we got a lot of folks out sick. Trouble is when folks are sick, the heating bill doesn't get sick and the light bill doesn't get sick. So you ladies make sure your husband doesn't rob God if you all are home sick. We still got to pay the bills. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. I think most of you are familiar with the passage, so I'll forego reading the whole thing. I'll read the first verse and then we'll look a little bit at it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father, we thank you, and Lord, what a book. What a profound study we already have had this morning. Lord, I see us in that picture, that two men, the importance of the gospel, the importance of the death, burial, and resurrection, and we're worried about who's on top and what I got going and what I need and what I don't have, et cetera, et cetera. So just help us to learn from that, to apply that. Lord, help this to be a great year. Lord, maybe this will be the year that you appear. Help us to be ready and watching. And Lord, in the meantime, help us with this subject we call faith. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Substance and evidence, kind of. Substance, that which really is or exists. Something real, not imaginary. Something solid, not empty. Equally applicable to matter or spirit. So that means seen or unseen. So faith should have substance. We ask ourselves, does ours? Does your faith have substance? Evidence. Proof arising from our own perceptions by the senses. And that's what James is really all about. You know, a guy says, I got faith. Where's the evidence? If you don't have evidence, you don't get persecuted. I mean, you don't get prosecuted, right? So you won't be prosecuted to being a Christian if you have no evidence. Tongue in cheek. Well, I go to church. So do devil worshipers. Okay, so not all about church. Substance and evidence, two pretty profound words when considering faith, is the substance of faith, hopes for, the evidence of things not seen. We're talking about substance and evidence of something unseen. But the fact is, in our world, although there is plenty of unseen, there is substance and evidence that testifies that the unseen exists. For example, I can't see your brain. But there is evidence in some that you have one. I can't see air, but the fact that I'm breathing is evidence that it's there. I can't see germs that knocked you down and out, some of you. It's awful. It's the worst ever. I heard a thing, the CDC, you know, get your flu shot. And I'm not going to start arguing about flu shots. But get your flu shot. And I think they said there's 1,000 strains. They picked 4. And they were wrong on all 4. But now they got to eat crow. So they're saying, well, you should get it anyways because it'll lessen your symptoms and all that. I know this. I can't see those germs, but because I'm sick, there's evidence they exist. I can't see God. But the Bible says the invisible things are clearly seen from the creation of the world. Clearly seen. Invisible things that you can't see. Invisible, you mean you can't see it. Clearly seen. Even his eternal power and Godhead. That's the Trinity. If some jive witness tells you that the word Trinity is not in the Bible, it's Godhead. So that they are without excuse. The unbeliever is without excuse from the things which he can see testify of the unseen God. And it's not just clearly seen, it's understood. Being understood by the things which are made. I think in the judgment, God will look at this, whatever they call them, naturalists. I only believe in the natural world. And I think He'll judge the man's conscience against his PhD when he saw that little sparrow eating those crumbs off the parking lot, and when he stood over that ocean or that mountain range. And I think when He judged the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, you're going to find that Romans 1 and Psalm 19 testify, there's a God and you know it. You've got to be evil to deny the presence of God, because your conscience bears witness, and the Scriptures bears witness, and the creation bears witness. Threefold cord, threefold witness. Substance and evidence. I can't see air, but I'm breathing. It proves it's there. I can't see germs. I'm sick. Proves it's there. I can't see God, but there's a created world. Proves He's there. Now, the conclusion of the smart people is, you can't see it. It doesn't exist. Fooey on them. I'll stick with the Bible. Amen. While they grope in darkness, watching their world crumble. Amen? We know what's going on. Amen? All right, what is faith? What is faith? Simple. Faith is believing God. The father of faith, Abraham, father of us all, simply believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Before there was a law, Abraham believed God. Before he offered up a son, he believed God. Before he circumcised his kin, he believed God. Before he did anything, he simply believed God. To him that even... Oh, help me, Lord. Hang on one second. I got to get myself started. Even the righteousness of law, help me, which I'll go somewhere else. It's not hard. This is what God said. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you do not, you cannot please God. Without faith in what He said, it's impossible to please Him. But it's not that easy. Because the fact is, He said a lot. About a lot. So the question, do you believe what God said, demands another question. What God said about what? Because I may believe one thing that God said about something and not another. Depending on what you're talking about believing. I'm going somewhere, you'll get it. Depending about what we're talking about believing determines whether God is pleased with that area of my life or not. Because there are different spheres of faith. Faith to faith. And the fact is, I can be very strong in faith in one area and very weak in another. Example, saving faith. Faith in what God said about dying. Living faith. Faith in what God said about living. Two very different spheres of faith. You can be real strong in one and real weak in another. Most Baptists have the dying part of faith down. Those fundamentals that we call them, the blood atonement and security of the believer, it's the living part of faith that we struggle with. Faith is the victory that overcomes not dying, not heaven, the world. That's where we struggle, most of us. The Bible doesn't say the just shall die by faith. Although it says these all died in faith, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Do I got a witness? And that's usually where our faith lacks. Now, it's funny. And I'm just being real general here. Forgive me for discriminating or what do they call that? Stereotyping. The reason stereotypes are because they're true, right? Right? Oh. He's saying Italians always talk with their hands. That's a stereotype. Yeah. Yeah. Those that believe you can't lose salvation, we got the dying part down. We struggle with the living part. And I'm speaking generally now, but it's funny that many of our dear charismatic brethren, you ever hear this phrase? I'm believing God, brother. I'm believing God. If you haven't, you haven't been around many charismatic brothers or sisters. I'm believing God for this seed. I'm believing God for this promise. Oh, I'm believing God someone's going to get saved. You know where you go when you die? I'm not sure. See, they got the living part of believing down, but they lack on the dying part of believing. God wants both. God wants to be pleased in all the areas. So I can believe in saving faith that God has provided a perfect, living, sinless sacrifice to atone for every single sin I have committed, am committing, and will commit. I believe, yes, I believe with all that's in me that Jesus died for me. And like the sister at Kodak used to say that really helped me in my infant stages, I know that I know that I know that I know. That's saving faith. And my faith in God's provision for salvation so pleased Him that in an instant He took all my sins away. And He made me His child. And He took residence in my body. And He sealed me unto the day of redemption. And He's seated me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. And He's preparing a mansion. Not a dwelling place like the New Bible say. A mansion. I'm looking for a mansion. And I'm going to live there forever. All because I believed what He said concerning His provision for my salvation. And that's not a work. That's faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. But that's not all God said about provision. There's more than provision for my soul in dying. He promised provision for my body and living. And we heard, that's why I baited you earlier. My God shall supply all. Well, my need for forgiveness of sin is part, but not all. Your need, according to His riches, where is it? In glory. That's why we get so, because it's not here. It's in glory that He provides. So I can believe what He said by faith concerning the provision for my soul, but the provision for my body, my family, my mental state, my whatever. When it comes to that, I'm fretting and worrying and can't sleep and I'm robbing God and everything else. So I'm pleasing God in one area and I'm displeasing Him in another. Just like our children do with us. Right? They please us in one area and not in another. And every once in a while, we get a perfect one. And you know what our definition of perfect is? When they please us in every area. We'll look at that in a little bit. The same one that said He would provide for the soul said He would provide for the body. Take no thought for your life. No thought for your life? That's what He said. You believe that? What you shall eat? Well, that leaves the Baptists out. What you shall drink, that leaves the sipping saints out. And what you shall put on, that leaves the women out. Is there a woman on the planet? There might be a few. Take no thought for what you put on. I'm thinking, man, that seemed like all they think about is what they're putting on, Lord. And maybe it's because these days they don't put much of it on, so they got to keep going back and getting more and more because there's something incomplete in there. The apostle said, God shall provide all your need, and he's in jail when he writes it. See why God used him? Just a little thought. My God shall supply all your need. So that must mean all my needs are met. Maybe the challenge is for me not to be banging God's door down on this need that has to be met. But, Lord, help me to see what you see as needs. Because chances are, I may not need... How many of you parents ever disagree with what your children need? I need my license, Mom! I need this, and I need that new this, and I need... Whoa. I'll tell you what faith is. And that's what he said to Paul. Paul said, this thing is going to... The messenger of Satan. My grace is what you need. And you start getting on those grounds, walking with God in that sphere of faith, you're talking about an individual that is pleasing God and is going to be used of God. So where do I stand with pleasing God concerning faith? It depends on what faith we're talking about. Most in this room are probably pleasing God in the area of saving faith. You believe, you don't question, you don't fret at night. Did I lose my salvation? Is He enough? Is the blood going to atone? No. And if you're not saved, you're not even out of the blocks. You can join every church on the planet and you still are not pleasing God because you don't have the first step of saving faith. But it breaks down further to living faith. And then it breaks down further, which living faith? Depends on what promise I'm leaning on. I can be strong in one and weak in another. We see it all through the Bible, and Hebrews 11 is a great, great example. Abraham, Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Woo! Living by faith. Where are you going, Abe? I don't know, by faith. What are you looking for? I'm looking for a city that I can't see, but it has foundations whose builder and maker is God that I can't see. Faith, the father of faith, showcased in Hebrews chapter 11. But he had another problem with a city that he could see, whose builder and maker was a king named Abimelech. Here's a guy going out, doesn't know where he's going, trusting God by faith in one area, and then he sees this king, he's got this beautiful wife, he says, baby, they see you, they're going to kill me. Where'd the faith go? So what was the deal with Abraham? He wasn't pleasing God in that area. In fact, the other verse in there says, by faith, he offered up his son Isaac. And what was he counting on that God would be able to do if he sacrificed his son? Raise him up. Right? Because after all, that's the promise. You're going to have a son. This thing's going to go on. Well, how about he would raise him up if Abimelech killed him? Isn't that us, brethren? Strong in one area, shameful in another. You see where we're going. Lord, I want to please You. I got this part down. You know, we get faith in the end, but not faith to get to the end. I see this all the time with missionaries. And I'll get to the pastors after I get to the missionaries. A missionary by faith surrenders. God just permeates His word into their soul. I surrender. I'll go. They quit their job. They sell their home. They mount up their worldly belongings. And they venture out. Certain by faith that God has called. And I'll tell you what. And it pleases God. And then they get mad at the pastors and complain and behave like heathen because every pastor doesn't drop everything they're doing the second they call and recognize their call. So God is pleased with the surrender, but He's displeased with the lack of faith in getting there. I'm sure God called me by faith. Then why you, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Why are you living like it depends on man? And then you got the pastors by faith preaching everybody to the mission field. And then when the guy calls, that's why we got a missions pastor. Because I didn't have time to call them all back. And shall we continue on the list? Look at 32. Now, I hope by now God's burrowing down in your heart and saying, buddy, you're good at this and I'm happy about it, just like we do with our children. But you've got this other area that I'm not real pleased with. 32. What shall I say more? These are people that God has showcased in this, what we call the Hall of Faith. For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David. David? Consider David, a man after God's own heart. These big brutes are out there with their Marine Corps uniforms and they are armed to the hilt. And here's this little boy. I'm not afraid of him. I come in the name of the Lord God of hosts. You aren't going to defy the armies of the living God. By faith. And God was pleased. So pleased that that man is going to rule on a throne on the new earth in Jerusalem forever. You'll find that in Ezekiel 37 after David is long dead. And then he turns around and he says, Joab, number the people. I want to know, we got to put a report in the sword of the Lord and I want to tell everybody how many we're running. Joab says, sir, I don't know if I'd do that. You start trusting in your numbers and the arm of flesh and all, number them. And the Bible says that his heart smote him and the thing displeased the Lord. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. So he's pleasing God in one area, not another. 2 Samuel 12. David had another little mishap. Second Samuel 12:7, Nathan said unto David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Now here's a guy that just committed adultery with another man's wife, and then he had the man killed. You know, what one thing leads to another, and you start swirling that drain. Sin always keeps you longer than you wanted to stay and takes you farther than you wanted to go. And look what God says, though. That's very interesting. 8. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that would have been too little, if you wanted more, David, I would more have given unto thee such and such things. I wonder if God said, Lord, if it could be legal, I sure would. Maybe. By faith, he pleases God, and by lack of faith in this area, he displeases God. And so a pastor by faith surrenders to take a church, usually a struggling church, leaves his job, takes a church, moves into a ratty parsonage, and every Sunday rails on giving and attendance while the people starve spiritually because he doesn't trust God to provide his needs. And here's what happens. When someone, David was judged severely. His home, his family was judged. And he always seemed to be bringing it up. Yeah, of him that had been of Uriah the Hittite, when speaking of Solomon. So, but then he turns around and says, but I'm going to, it's put away. You've repented, you're sorry, it's put away. Still, if I burn myself with the welder, I still have the scar, even though I'm saved, see? So I'm still suffering from the judgment of this thing, but yet he's going to put him on the throne forever. So God is displeased and judges in these areas where we are at least unfaithful, at worst sinning bad, and he's pleased and rewards us in other areas. Hebrews 11. This ought to comfort you and convict you, but I'll tell you what it explains in case I forget to say it. It explains why God uses people that we wouldn't use. Hebrews 11. Verse 32. You see whose name is in there? Samson. Samson. His father, and he says, hey, this woman up there, the lost woman, doesn't know the God of Israel. I want her. I want her. You look at the me's and the I's in that passage over there, and they say, is there never a woman? This is a pleading parent that has a son who's going to do what he wants. And you can't give him the business no more. So now it's just pleading. Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her from me, for she pleaseth me well. That's all that mattered. You ever notice, I got to throw this in, you ever notice how many big, strong men in the Bible, and especially in our day, out of the Bible, it's all over the news, how many get their faith or their profession or their vocation or their commitment upended by a woman? Abraham did. God gave him a plan. And it was his wife that messed him up. She had a plan. David did. Solomon certainly did. Samson certainly did. Noah certainly did. So here's Samson. He doesn't have the faith to trust his parents' counsel. He's looking to self. He's looking to probably beauty and emotion, and that trumped anything spiritual. And so he goes in, watch this. He goes in spiritually blind, and he comes out physically blind. Sin took him further than he wanted to go. And then by faith, as he's dying, he prays this prayer and he trusts the Lord and he gets into Hebrews 11. How in the world can God use that womanizing, gambling, self-willed rascal and put him in the hall of faith? Simple. He pleased God in that area. And look at, he was judged severely for where he displeased God. But God recognized his faith and it pleased him
and he was rewarded. Solomon, he's not in there, but the Bible says Solomon loved the Lord. Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. He's the one that said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. You ever read his prayer in that temple dedication? That saved Daniel from the lion's den, that prayer. God knew how Solomon would end up. Israel was the closest to God's kingdom ever being on earth under the reign of Solomon. But you know what else he loved besides the Lord? The Bible says he loved many strange women. And Nehemiah said, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God." How can it be? Here's how. Faith must really please God. Faith in any area, especially saving, must really, really prolong the mercy of God. These guys are committing, these heroes of faith are committing big sins. Sarah, who by faith? By faith, Sarah? She's the one that we got trouble in the Middle East today with her concocted great idea. But God puts her in there. It's like he's looking. Aren't you looking, parents? I hope you're looking. Let me find something good in you. And when you do, just lavish him with praise and give him a lot of mercy, and maybe they'll try to please you again. Sarah, how did she get in there? She certainly didn't start with the faith. Some of them started with the faith like Solomon, didn't end with the faith. I'm telling you, we serve a merciful God. And the reason we aren't in hell with our necks broke is because his mercy endures forever. And the reason he doesn't kill us and kill our families and destroy everything we got in spite of our idiocy and the things that we do and our lack of faith, because of those areas where we are trying to please him. Hallelujah. Now, you're going to cross lines that you can't cross over and you get judged. That's the way it is. But when given the opportunity to showcase every one of these people that messed up somewhere, he displays what they did do by faith. Not like us. You commit the big one, we gonna mark you. Right? Brother, you could have rebuilt the temple. You done messed up, you're out. Listen, and don't run with that now. Listen, there's judgment, there's qualification. ABC, do you know exactly what I'm talking about? But I'm telling you, thank God. We used to pray a prayer in the Catholic Church. I don't know if some of you Catholics remember. Look not on our sins, but on our faith. And I think that's what he does a lot. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Faith is believing God. But the question is, believing him about what? And in one area, undoubtedly, many of us are pleasing God. In other areas, we are not. I got faith to give. It's a gift in the Bible. It's a gift. Faith to give liberally. But I can't forgive. I can't have faith to forgive. I got faith to give, but not forgive. So I'm pleasing him here, and I'm not pleasing him here. Faith to preach boldly. Declan, boldly. But when I get in a storm, listen, those guys were in a storm that was rocking the boat, taking on the water, and he said, "How is it that you have no faith?" while another weathers the storms of life. That was Peter's problem. Peter walked on water by faith. But the limit was stormy water. He could walk on water by faith. And then a little maiden said, "Aren't you one of them?" Declan, no boldness. "I'm not one of them." When he saw the heat coming on, no faith. And you know what the Lord said? "Peter, when you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. There's hope for you. If you're breathing, there's hope for you. If you got saving faith by the grace..." You think it'd be the other way. If you got saving faith for the provision for your soul by the grace of God, we can get living faith for the provision of our bodies. Now, you know what Christian growth is? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, while we finish up. Christian growth. I talked to a brother this morning. He about knocked me over with what he said. I kind of knew he had this problem. He never hid it. And this guy had been saved 30 years. He said, "Man, I got to tell you something. God convicted me about something in my life." It was a secular song artist that he liked that sang some Christian music. He said, "Man, I saw this documentary or something on this person." He said, "I put it down the drain." And I thought, man, doesn't that go? Listen, there's always room to grow. 1 Thessalonians, watch what our apostle is praying for the church. Verse 10. "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Well, it can't be saving faith. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. That's what God's after this morning. What's lacking in your faith? And as we grow and as we trust, that's what pastors are for. That's what shepherds are for. That's what preaching is for. That's what church is for. That's why we're going to come here with all these activities we're doing to get you under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, that your faith might be perfected, complete. What's that? It's as simple as getting me to trust Him where I'm not trusting Him now. In the bodybuilding world, there is an award for best symmetry. Symmetry. That's balance. A man could get up there with arms like King Kong, but if he has legs like a coffee table, he's not going nowhere. And that was the demise of many, especially new guys. They come in there, they get in front of that mirror, man, they have big old King Kong biceps and a hose pipe going, and they like to see that. I like to see the arm pump up. But he didn't want to go over to that squat rack with those little pencil legs. Who wants to look at that? The judges. So what he would do is, he would accelerate his strong points and neglect his weak points. And I just want to use that by way of illustration. This is what God wants. He wants us to maintain our strong points. Where you have faith, don't lose that. But He wants to work on where we're not faithful. Spiritual symmetry. Exercises our strengths. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, but at the same time identifies through the Word of God and preaching and documentaries where I'm weak. And so we see prayers in the Bible, which is a great place to start, because prayer is a whole study in faith itself. And the reason we don't believe, most of us don't pray, is we don't believe it.
does anything. Lord, increase our faith. You saw a man say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Peter said, Lord, bid me to come on thee on the water. And he had enough faith to step on that water, just didn't have the faith for stormy waters. Now, some of you have been having the faith to walk on water for 20 years, and now you're facing some stormy waters. You better get on your face before God. Help me not to disappoint you. Help me to believe that you can provide all my need, including emotional. I'll tell you what, Lord, define my needs. Help me to see if you're providing them. And then you step out into new spheres of faith and you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you on this one. And I'm going to open my mouth boldly and watch what happens. Watch him fill it. And tell me, if you are so petrified to witness, if you do it, if you take a step of faith and pass that tracker, open your mouth for the Lord, and you don't walk away jubilant, Pastor Folk will buy you breakfast. I promise. Lord, lengthen my cords of faith. Strengthen my stakes. Help me to trust you, listen, in this area, the way I trust you in that area. If Baptists could trust the Lord for living the way we trust him for dying, the world would be conquered by faith. Paul said, night and day, praying exceeding, that we might see your face and might perfect. And here's what James is saying, the whole book of James, it's not about working for your salvation. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And that is the just living by faith. I wonder where you're lacking this morning. I wonder where I'm lacking this morning. That's what perfection is. That's what holiness is. It's not sinless. It is complete. And God is looking for those little areas. And maybe as we face this new year, say, Lord, I need faith to give. I need faith to parent. I need faith to follow my parents. I need faith to surrender. And on and on. What is it for you? How long? How long will we grow till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? You know what I think Hebrews 11 is? I think it's like the judgment seat of Christ, Eric. You know that Bible says we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's two judgments. There's a great white throne judgment for the dead. And then there's the judgment seat of Christ for the bride. He's not going to judge his bride for sin. But he said we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. If any man in the fire shall try a man's work of what sort it is, and it'll try every man's work. And if the thing that goes in that fire, abide, thank you, abide, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here's Hebrews 11. Here's all these guys committed big sins. Let me tell you what's going to happen up there. In eternity, we won't remember the bad. He's not going to hold that sin against you like we do down here. It's going to be glory and praise and honor. In the meantime, especially you old timers. Man, I've been preaching for 25 years. You know, well, what is it you want me to do, Lord? You know, stop eating potato chips for Lent? You know. No. Lord, where is my faith lacking? Reveal it to me. Let this be the year that I overcome the world. Let's stand. Pastor, come and lead us in a song. Now, are you saved? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you got to start with the saving faith. You got to believe in the provision for your soul, and the altar's open. If you come here, I'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Your choice to believe it or not. If you believe, He'll save your soul just like that. Where aren't you trusting? Where are you a little apprehensive? You say, oh, Lord, I've been apprehensive in this area a long time. Listen, Lord, increase my faith. I believe He will. I believe He will. Good, good. Usually the young people come first. Amen.
418.
418 if you're singing. Praise God.